Quartz presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at about 15 into hour three, and happy, even under the circumstances, to get a chance to talk to Bob Hutton from the Arizona HBPA. And Bob, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And everybody, family and horsemen and everybody getting through the Arizona hotspot okay?
Yeah, we're working on it. You know, it's a lot of the people that the horsemen that in the state have been, they're in Minnesota or Colorado or New Mexico right now. So there's not that many horsemen left in the state. But for the most part, everybody's pretty safe. And I know some people that have had the virus from the that are employees at the track or horsemen, and everybody's come through it all right. So far, so good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, at least. Meanwhile, there's some difficult discussions to have, and there's been loggerheads on several fronts, and people have seen the storylines, I think, flare up and certain updates when it came to Arizona Downs and Turf Paradise and that situation. But the one that, and we can visit that separately at some point, but the one that is really troubling, and that I hear very regularly from listeners in Arizona, and the signal difficulties and the unavailability, essentially, of prime signals to players in Arizona, it is just dragging on and on. And I wanted to get you to visit to explain how it got to this point and what can potentially be done to, you know, fix this situation.
Well, from day one when I got involved, Steve, it was there's been a lot of inconsistencies as far as the reasons the signals aren't being sent in. And it's baffling to me. It's like in an industry that we have a lot of issues as far as fan retention and developing fans in this industry. And why would we keep product from people to enjoy? It doesn't make any sense. But from the start, when Corey Johnson, that has done a magnificent job at Kentucky Downs, headed a group to come in and buy out of bankruptcy Arizona Downs. And so, and a lot of people, Steve, don't understand why that's important for the horsemen in the state. It's important so they don't have to leave or travel, thousands of miles to race somewhere else in the summertime, and they have residents here, and it's important for them to stay, and just on a, not only on a family note, but on a monetary note, that they're not incurring all these expenses traveling across the country. A lot of people don't understand that just to go to Canterbury Downs to ship a horse from Arizona costs $1,000. Well, and I'm sure you're aware of the purse structure at Turf Paradise, it's not that good. And so these people are struggling monetarily to make ends meet anyways. And then if they would have had live racing up in Prescott, Arizona during the summertime, it would have alleviated a lot of pressure financially on these people. But to go back to Corey Johnson, and Corey came in, and I think there was a strife between Corey and the Monarch Group, or the Stronach Group. Monarch's a subsidiary of Stronach's group, and that's where it started, and it just seems to have taken it's like a zigzag trail on what the excuse is. The most recent excuse I've heard is because of the Interstate Horse Racing Act, but I'm not an attorney, and I've read the act, and it basically states if there's a live meet going on that you have to have consent to run within, if to have an OTB within 60 miles. In this case, it doesn't. It's not relative because there is no live meat in Arizona right now. And one of the big issues that I have with it, Steve, is if it's really an issue as far as legality is concerned, why is Churchill and NYRA sending their signal to everybody in the state? It doesn't make any sense.
Monarch, for the purposes of the negotiations, Monarch is controlling which signals, and which signals have been, I mean, obviously the Stronach tracks, but they also have negotiation rights for some other signals. What signals have been deprived that players have been unable to play over the past period?
Well, the major signals in the earlier when Tampa Bay was running, we didn't get Tampa Bay, and a lot of people like to play Tampa Bay, and especially when the virus had hit, and that was one of the few tracks that was running as far as in the country. And what I understand is Tampa Bay is not contractually bound now to Monarch, but the major ones right now, Steve, is Monmouth and Del Mar. And one of the big issues is a lot of people in Arizona. We head to California for the summertime to get out of the heat, and because the race meet over there has always been, you know, very, very competitive and good racing, and, you know, that is not being shown in Arizona now, and a lot of the people that would go through and put money through the windows at Del Mar are staying in Arizona, and today they cannot bet on that product.
This started essentially at the beginning of the year, and I remember the commission got involved in this too. And how much of this logjam gets back to the Arizona Downs versus Turf Paradise issues?
Well, it's I've sat through a lot of commission meetings, and Turf Paradise's position is they say they want Arizona Downs to succeed, but their actions haven't reflected that because they'll get up and argue in front of the commission why they shouldn't be able to race, why they shouldn't be able to run their meet, why they shouldn't be able to have OTBs. I mean, it's just it contradicts some of the other statements being made. So it's as far as that's concerned, it's and right now the state of the commission in Arizona, there's only two commissioners and there's no quorum. So we haven't had a meeting, I'm going to say, for 4 months as far as trying to get any of these things rectified. And so the two commissioners that are in place right now, they're hand-tied. They can't do anything because there's no quorum.
Hey.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. As far as when the coronavirus hit, and I know there's been numbers of people that have applied for the position. When the coronavirus hit, the Turf Paradise donated $1 million to the coronavirus for Governor Ducey, and it's just funny how when people make donations for that, sometimes business at downtown and the government just stops. And I don't know if it was, you know, as far as plan to do it that way or what the case, but it doesn't smell very good.
Is any of this, let's assume you get the additional commission member, what has to happen? How much of this is negotiating, at the table, sitting down with Scott DeRudy, and hammering out something, or is there more behind this? As you know, as essentially you're kind of hinting. I mean, sometimes it's a pricing issue when it comes to preferential treatment to volume discount, etc. But this doesn't sound like it's a dollar and cents.
Well, when I look at Monarch's position, Steve, I ran my own business for 20 years, And fortunately for me, I'm retired, and I did pretty well. I've been in the horse business since 2003. I own 25 horses. I understand about having skin in the game. When I look at Monarch's position, especially in an industry where we are trying to get younger people involved, I mean, it's really one of the few industries where you could bet 50 cents and make $400. I mean, it's not, there's a lot of good things that can happen at a parimutuel window. And I just don't see, and to understand Arizona, we have our OTBs in local bars,
right,
where they set up windows. And a lot of times when any of us visit bars we haven't been in before, or we go in to have a quick meal or whatever the case may be, you have your regulars and your people that patronize those bars as far as good customers, and they're always there. And to me, to show the product or have the opportunity for people to see racing at its best could only benefit monetarily Monarch, Naira, Churchill Downs. The more people that see it, the better off it is for the industry. One of the arguments at the beginning is they didn't want to see the OTB system cannibalized in Arizona, where the HBBA's position is, boy, if we could have one in every bar and have people see what our product is, that would be fantastic, because there'd be more action through the windows. So I don't understand their position as far as that's concerned. Now, I will say one thing, Steve. When I've talked to Scott DeRudy before and the other management team at Monarch, they've been very polite. They're very professional. This is not a I didn't want to get on the radio today to bash anybody. That's not my position. My position is that this industry is driven, and you're going to get a lot of arguments, but this is my position, is driven by the bettors. If there's no bettors, there's no racing. And you can have people say, well, horse owners, and it's the jockeys, and it's the trainers. No, it's the bettors. If they're the number one priority, and when we deprive them of product that they want to see, we are doing them a real injustice, and that's what troubles me.
Bob, you're going to there'll be guys looking to carry you around on their shoulders. They'll be thrilled to hear and understand and know that, you know, horsemen recognize that fact, and certainly Eric Hamelbeck in his tenure at HBPA has gone out of his way to, you know, drive home the point of, you know, the respect for and the appreciation of the players. And, you know, the emails that I get are all from people. Even before this signal issue cropped up, there were people that were frustrated, there were certain elements. You talk about protecting the OTBs. I mean, that they couldn't bet on an ADW system, for instance, and that has driven Arizona players crazy ever since that concept. And Arizona wasn't the only state to do that kind of a protective something that seemed like it was a prudent way to protect the interest, but in fact was in a changing landscape it was not smart. And getting it changed, that also is a separate topic, but this whole thing seemed to perk raise its head, based on what was happening between Arizona Downs and Turf Paradise. And even before Corey's involvement, there was the loggerheads between the two venues. Then there's poor little Rito, down in Tucson, that limps along Pico County. But I just wanted people to be more aware of this, and I don't know what outside influences can bring to bear against it, Bob. But in the short term, aside from getting another commissioner in there and having maybe some leverage from the state government side, what else can be done?
The best thing for people that are our players to contact Monarch and let them know their frustration. I don't think the, you know, I go to the OTBs and I get swarmed with people, Steve, that say, what are we going to do about Del Mar? And I can only tell you that the HPPA, and you understand the HPPA's position around the country, our position is, God, let's show everybody everything we can. And this is not only this, Steve, it's hurting the players. It's hurting the horsemen in every, yeah. It's hurting the horsemen in Arizona. It's hurting the horsemen in California. I went over to the TOC with some of my colleagues and sat down in their boardroom and said, guys, this is hurting your purse account, when they weren't showing Santa Anita. And you know as well as I do, Steve, people are going to find a way to play, right? They're going to go offshore. They're going to maybe play with a bookie. So you might go ahead and get some people to say, oh, boy, I can't play Del Mar. I'm going to go away. You're going to find others that are going to find a way to play the races there. And, you know, it probably won't be legal. And if it's not legal, the horsemen ain't getting their cut, and it's not going to go in their purse account. And look at the Del Mar purses this year. I mean, the maiden special weights are $50,000. I think a couple of years ago they were $65,000 or $63,000. You know, so it's having a trickle-down effect as far as affecting just not the players, but the horsemen in every state.
No doubt. That's been the most recent development in discussions, the most recent example came during the Belmont meet in New York with Naira making the deal that they've got with Fox and distributing the broadcasts and essentially trying to direct all the play to Naira Bets away from TVG, which benefits the purse accounts and is just much better for Naira. I mean, there's business decisions internally that some people find difficult to understand, but makes sense given the objectives of a jurisdiction. Then you look at this kind of a situation, and it's not helping anybody. It's not like there's some benefit to the signal being withheld. And I know that Monarch is challenging. I think they're challenging the legality of what the commission proposed at the beginning of the year. Right? That was the linchpin to the conflict.
Well, they're challenging. What they're doing is they're challenging last year legislatively. There was a law passed that if one entity in the state, a permittee, gets a signal, they all get it.
Right.
And because they were left, because Arizona Downs was not able to get the Monarch signal, and because Turf Paradise had a long-standing relationship with Monarch. And so from there, they went and they got the legislative bill passed, and now everybody had to get the signal, and that's when Monarch pulled out and said, well, then we're not going to show it to anybody, which to me seems pretty childish.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand that, but to go and just to touch base on a lot of people in the state of Arizona, when they go ahead and try to play on their ADWs and they got to call somebody and talk to them on the phone, we're trying to run a bill right now to get that changed, but we've run into some. Because of the coronavirus, the legislative session is stopped and started, and hopefully we could get that done, because I think it would be a big benefit for the players in Arizona just to go on their phone and be able to digitally play on their phone instead of talk to a human being.
Well, Bob Hutton is with us from the Arizona HPPA, I really should pull them all together and dig through and do a search in my own mail about Arizona I'm going to tell you that I've heard I would say well over 10, 12, I'd say about two a month. Asking I reached out to Leroy and wanted during the pandemic, when things were kind of quiet, I thought here's a perfect time to address this Arizona situation, and we just didn't get to it. But Bob, I'm glad to shine some spotlight in this direction, and I think that if more people are aware, perhaps there's a way to, you know, to get a little bit of added leverage against the difficulty. The player feels put upon so often, way too often, in so many different areas, and then here's something that should have been addressed, you know, years ago when there were signal wars, 15 years ago, they seem to have abated, and lately there's been, a few more of them than there should be.
Yeah, and the other thing, Steve, is an industry, right? We're pretty much the only thing going on right now.
Yeah.
And what a great opportunity to go ahead and promote our product.
Yep.
And it's just like we're there's so much infighting amongst the top three. You know, I mean, don't we? I don't want to get off the subject, but don't we wish that everybody had the attitude, the permittees that Oaklawn does? I mean, probably the and I've never had the opportunity to run there, but everybody I've talked to that runs at Oaklawn says they're treated so kindly. People go out of their way for them. The racing there was top notch this year, and it was because it was one of the only games in town. But you know what? When you get to the top three, when you get to Stronach, New York, Naira, and Churchill, it just seems they're so interested in fighting amongst themselves that they don't think about the industry. And the industry is, if the industry doesn't survive, there's nothing here for anybody. And here's a perfect opportunity to promote our industry and to get more people involved, because a lot of people, the ADWs are, a lot of the handles way up as far as
sure.
People betting, because they're bored. They don't have anything else to do. So they're out there and they're going to the OTBs, or they're watching the races at home, and they're saying, oh, let me take a shot at this. But we could do so much more right now as an industry, and I really think we're missing the boat.
No, I feel terrible for everybody that is missing their favorite summer signal, and we're unable to enjoy their favorite winter signal. And Arizona has just been really a snake pit the last several years. Bob, whatever I need to, you're open to any time to further this along, anything you want to pass along to the players and to the stakeholders out there, I feel free.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Not at all. Bob Hutton, everybody. Arizona HBPA, and a situation that seems like it's unnecessary that Monarch withholding the signal from distribution. And I'll reach out to Scott DeRudy and see if Scott has got a response and has an explanation as to what they're seeking to make this work for everybody. We've got about 20 minutes, and Seth Merrow swings in. And Seth, he and I kicked off the Loose on the Lead season Sunday. We had a rousing start to the broadcast year at the backstretch over by the 7-furlong chute. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it was a nice start. You and I did some chatting, and then George Weaver came over and sat in for a little while, and middle of the show that the control room folks kind of figured out the social distancing picture-in-a-picture thing that may work out for the rest of the season, because the first day and a half or so, the first part of our show, I think that socially distanced two-shot is a little awkward, where we're both kind of barely on the screen. But as I say, I think maybe we figured out
You were on the screen. You were fully on the screen. I was cut off like it was a UHF signal, and you used to have to adjust the dial.
When they went picture in picture, you had to make a picture. But it is clearly going to be a work in progress. There's no question about it the whole season. And then and yesterday they had a, and folks have speculated over the last few weeks, are people going to be planting lawn chairs on Nelson Ave and Union Ave? The answer, no. The city and NYRA had a press conference yesterday, and I stopped over, and NYRA has now put up what was called by the city person privacy fencing, but it's essentially just a green cloth over the fence outside Nelson Avenue on Union Avenue. And the city police, or the assistant chief, I believe, was there and said, you know, we're trying to discourage that, obviously, for safety reasons. And you don't want a big crowd, obviously, not social distancing out there as well. So the recommendation from NYRA and from the city people, you know, have fun at home, have some watch parties, and take advantage of the track that way. Until and unless, you know, things do change as the meet goes along. But at the beginning of the meet, no fans, and no fans peeping through the fence.
Yeah, the sort of those, almost like you used to have, you still have on tennis courts, the wind blockers. The green tchotchkes. It's a difficult, really, you know, I don't know how many different times we're going to package it and say it, but it's just, you know, to have the track here, to have everybody here, and have the racing. It you know, I thought, Seth, that even if players couldn't attend and fans, that just being here was going to be, you know, something people would relish and appreciate, and certainly for those around the country that don't come or can't come, you know, typically, for them it's going to be the same great, you know, racing action and wagering opportunities. Yesterday, based on going over there, I kind of got the sense for the first time that it's. It makes you, you know, I think it makes you long for you know, a normal scenario even more. I didn't feel like all excited and tingly. I felt like, gosh, this is going to be really hard. It surprised me.
Clearly going to be very different, and it's going to be like, you know, for you and I, and for folks who arrive early, like walking in the morning when there's nobody there. It's just, it doesn't have the same life in the building as it does 3 hours later when the place is packed and cheering. I was talking with some NYRA folks yesterday who were, you know, at Met Mile Day and at Belmont Day, and they said it's kind of the same thing. It was just not that same level of life in the place. And what is really kind of disappointing is it's hard to come up with a division this year that doesn't look spectacular and won't play out up at Saratoga. So, you know, on the racing side, it's just, I think, going to set up to be a pretty spectacular meet. So it's unfortunate that at least at the beginning, and the way it looks now, it may go the whole way, but no fans. But still, folks, as you say, we'll be able to watch. And did you see a Twitter or Instagram one of the past few days? The local guy who had put up the TV.
It's great. Yeah.
Like that was fabulous. It was one of the little TV setups like they have in the backyard at Saratoga, and he's now got it in his backyard.
Well, and there may be, I think there's going to be maybe a some TV remote done from there. I can see that showing up on the Fox show, and it is so clever. And you know, he's going to end up having to fight people off. You know, Ron Anderson will be there with his folding chair. You know.
It was a great idea. I ran into Matt Hunter from Spectrum, and I think he was going to go over and do a little story on it this week already. So, he's already attracting some attention.
Seth, just in terms of, you know, what we talked about on Sunday and getting started, you mentioned, you know, George's visit and George looking to get off to a big start. And in fact, George, it was funny. I asked George about going to OBS. George didn't have to do anything on Monday. Immediately after, you know, we had talked, he ends up picking up that that the top seller from the Horse of Racing Age sale is going to come his way, County Final. And so he's got himself a $500,000 graded stake place two-year-old added to his arsenal. I something tells me that horse will show up probably in the Saratoga Special mid-meet. And among the two-year-olds. So George
seems poised. He had two winners on Sunday after he was on the show.
Yep. And they also won. There was something else that, what did I see? That I guess that was it, right? That, oh, no, you know what I'm thinking of? It was Brad Cox, too, that you know, Brad was on with us on Monday, and then he won in the afternoon. One of the horses we talked about won at Indiana as well. But you're right. George won and paid the decent. One of them paid okay. $11,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
That's right.
He
so,
said he was hoping it was a lucky charm to have him on early in the meet, and worked out well for him at the end of the Belmont meet.
Well, as long as he didn't clear too many conditions, because one year he had had a huge Belmont. That might have been last year, too, actually. He had the big Belmont and then only won three races when usually... Well, he was comfortable with me setting the over-under at 9.5. So, George, the George Weaver over-under is 9.5.
Yeah, I think he's looking for a good meet, and certainly he seems to be coming in fine fashion. So we'll see how that plays out. Another thing we talked about on the show, and you nailed it. We were talking about the positives with the jockeys, and you were kind of saying a lockdown of, of venues maybe in the offing, and over the past couple of days, that's exactly how it worked out. You know, it's tough for everybody. It's tough for owners, trainers, jockeys, but I think the reaction of everybody is exactly what you'd hope for and expect. Everybody realizes, given what we've seen over the last week, it's the right thing to do.
No, there was no doubt, and I think that one thing I said earlier today too was I think we all, as we get more familiar and comfortable with the, you know, being out with masks and you know, just trying to operate our, you know, essentially our lives. I think people have gotten a little too relaxed, and you can't. And I'll admit that, you know, once Tina and I confirmed, you know, that we had the antibodies after having gotten sick in March, you know, I was walking around, you know, feeling like, well, I'm impervious now. I can't. But the fact is, we know, you know, there's pretty much evidence growing that. That you absolutely can get sick again. So nobody can be overconfident about this. And you know, until there's, you know, this vaccine that that are being sped along, everybody's got to be as you know, vigilant and careful as possible. And good luck to the idiots out there.
Not to get off topic virus too much. But yeah. I'm not sure that's confirmed you can get it again yet. I think that's still a little bit up in the air. But that said, I think even if you've had it, and even if it was confirmed, I think you still have to wear a mask just to kind of, for lack of a better word, play along. Just because there can't be people out, you know, you don't have a sign around your neck that says I have the antibodies. And so just to, for society, I think... Even the people who have had it have some confidence maybe they won't get it again. Still think you got to wear the mask just so we're all in the same boat for a while. And they came out yesterday, and I think it was CDC, one of the organizations, said, gee, if everybody wore masks for the next 4 to 8 weeks, we would really beat this thing back. And my whole thing is, why not? I mean, why do people get bent out of shape about it? I have a lot of complaints about the way they've compiled the data and whatnot, but... Geez, I mean, wearing a mask is just such a small thing, and if it can make a big difference, why not?
Well, you certainly don't be setting up volleyballs for me to slam dunk and holding and pulling the net down, because I'll tee off. I don't need to go in that direction. Did you handicap anything today?
I looked at Saratoga for tomorrow. If you want to hit on stakes races or whatnot.
Sure, absolutely. You can join Andy and Nick Tamaro with some Seth opinions. And by the way, Seth, provide everybody with the with the schedule and what is going to be available at both, you know, for those that watch, you know, when they come to Saratoga and they come to upstate New York and they love the Capital OTB coverage. And also, of course, you can watch it on CapitalOTB.com. So a couple of options. What's the broadcast plans for the season?
Yeah, if people sign up for the Capital OTB bet, you can use the app, too, to watch. And it's going to be, you know, we kind of take pride in being on the backstretch for as long as we have. I mean, before I was part of the network, I was a fan live from the backstretch every morning at Saratoga Racing. And, you know, the biggest names in horse racing are a golf cart ride away.
Yeah, you were the Victor Kiam of Capital OTB. you liked it so much, you went to work for them.
Exactly. And now here I am since 1968. But, yeah, I mean, over the years I've talked to, you know, for me as a fan, it's been fabulous. I've had Jonathan Shepard sit next to me and Alan Jerkins and Chad and Todd and John Velasquez and Javier Castellano. And maybe a little bit different this year. We're still not sure how it's going to work out with people coming over. But if they're not over, we'll do some pre-taped pieces and drop them into the show. So I expect essentially, you know, the same level of entertainment and information. It just may look a little bit different. But in the morning, you tune in at about 7:30. We'll have a camera planted on trackside that'll show workouts, and you can kind of get in the mood and see the weather and whatnot. 9 o'clock every racing day, there'll be a handicapper support show going over the card. 10 o'clock. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'll be on with Racing Across America. 10 o'clock on Saturday, Brian Nadeau has Saturdays at the Spa. And then 10 o'clock on Sunday morning is, of course, where people want to mark their calendar. That's you and I with Loose on the Lead. So there's essentially the schedule, 12:50 on the cable up here. Again, you go to the website, capitalotv.com. You can find out some more information. But there'll be a printable sheet also, a one sheet every day, every racing day. If you go to the website, the OTB handicappers are also cycling in, doing our annual face-off with the Times Union handicappers. That's always a lot of fun. In the last couple of years, it's really come down to the last few days where it's been a lot of fun the last week or so. Times Union handicappers versus OTB handicappers, so people can follow that as well. So it should be a lot of fun. I, of course, will have picks every day also on equidilly.com, so people can swing by there.
Well, and Seth is absolutely, annually, one of the biggest winners when it comes to, you know, the head-to-head contests and the battle of the handicappers. And you know, sniff him out. They make sure you are adding Seth's analysis daily at Equidaily or on the one sheet, and follow him at Seth Merrow 2. What's on the agenda tomorrow? Peter Pan, Skylerville thoughts?
Yeah, Skylerville, I'd master the obvious. I think Beautiful Memories for Cassie looks pretty good. I mean, Hopeful Princess for Asmussen, the private purchase is interesting, but I don't know, with the breeding and those nice workouts down at Churchill, I think Mark Cassie is a little bit loaded in there. So I'm master of the obvious kind of in the Skylerville. But in the Peter Pan, I thought Candy Tycoon might be intriguing. Last seen early in May at Oaklawn and has some experience and only has the maiden breaker. But that last race at Oaklawn showed some promise. I'm going to draw a line through the Florida Derby. It was a tough trip, and obviously a salty bunch with Tis the Law in there. You know, it's Pletcher, it's John Velasquez, who's riding well. He's been up here training over the training track, the Oklahoma track here at Saratoga. So I'm going to take a little pop with him at 5-1 on the morning line. Mystic Guide, Caracaro, both I think are a little bit unknown in that they're lightly raced but have the potential. I have them right underneath. And Country Grammar for Chad, I put in the 4 spot. Now, I may regret putting this horse down that far because I think that one has some upside potential too. But I'll take a little pop in the Peter Pan with Candy Tycoon.
Nice. Anything else on the card that caught your eye?
I didn't mention, I also have the WTEN slot, the channel, which I think will be a little different this year. In the last few years, I've been live at during the 6 o'clock news, but with social distancing and whatnot, I'm not quite sure how they will display the selections, but they always want kind of a long shot pick, too. And in the 10th race, I have it 1-6-8-2, so I have a secure connection on top of my long shot at, on Channel 10 tomorrow. It'll be number 6, Allie to Calvary, who I think just buyer-wise fits pretty nicely with this group. And a 12-1 and Rosario on board. We'll see if the morning line holds up. But when I'm picking long shots, that's kind of all I have to go with. And so I thought that one could be a little bit live in the 10th and final tomorrow, the number 6 horse.
I thought I'll definitely have Allie to Cavalry involved in here as well. Nick was talking, you know, that Summer Fortune is the one with upside and, you know, is the frog with the least warts. But I agree. And I thought Secure Connection inside for Shug made sense as well. Opening day at Saratoga when we're together tomorrow morning, and I'm headed over there shortly, and we'll see if we're going to be over by the racing office bringing you the action from there, or if Pat's going to put me somewhere else. We'll see. We're going to find out. And I think if everything works, we'll be coming to you tomorrow from Saratoga for opening day. And then the first full season loose on the lead with Seth Merrow, the one and only. Seth Merrow 2 on Twitter, equidaily.com, capital OTB TV. Thanks to Seth. Bob Hutton from Arizona HBPA. Nick Tamaro with the analysis. Andy Serling kicking off the season. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Pat McKenna was with us to start the morning. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday, get together opening day, and we'll see who comes by live, as well as some Haskin action, and we'll have a Haskell field to look at as well, and the first big full Saturday with Monmouth, Del Mar, Saratoga, all Ellis, all in full swing. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. I got the Canterbury action. I'll put it up at the website, and I will talk to you in the morning. Thanks. There is a soul. We don't know. That soul is hard to find. Down the road. Down the road. If you're out to get the honey, then you don't go killing all of me. It's what the people are saying.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.